Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for Monday, March the 16th, 2020. This is Air Force veteran David Corey. Thank you for joining us this evening. My usual co-host, Richard Hurley, has a very busy schedule this evening. He's unable to be with us, but he'll be back next week. We'll look forward to it. And if he's able to listen, hope he has a good evening. We have lots of news and information for veterans and their families, so hope you'll stay tuned. First, I want to remind everyone that this is a call-in show. It's your show, so we welcome your views, your comments, your questions. Call us anytime during the show. And our toll-free nationwide number is 1-888-627-6008. I'll say that again more slowly. It's 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. So give us a call if you want to share your views, your comments, questions about any veteran issues. Want to start off the news with the latest from the VA on the coronavirus, COVID-19. It seems to be all over the media, as one might expect, and the VA is no exception. According to a news release from the VA.gov website this week, the VA is advising veterans that if they suspect they have symptoms and they're not sure whether it's the coronavirus, they urge and they request that veterans please call their local VA medical center or clinic first. Please call first before going to that clinic or hospital, urgent care, emergency room, especially if those symptoms include fever, cough, shortness of breath. Calling first will help the VA protect you, protect the medical staff, and other patients. You can also ask your VA healthcare team about the option of advice and care over the phone or by video, like Skyping, essentially, instead of an in-person visit. Now, obviously, in some emergency situations, that won't be sufficient, but it may be in many situations. So, again, the VA asked that veterans call in first if they're having symptoms. They're not sure whether it's the coronavirus. Call into their local VA medical center or outpatient clinic and discuss it, and then go from there. The VA also asks that visitors who may have relatives or friends in the hospital who may be feeling unwell, please postpone their visits to VA facilities, again, for the same reason, to protect the patients, the medical staff. And if you want more information, go to VA.gov. They also have links to the Centers for Disease Control for the latest coronavirus information. And there you can also read more in more detail about the VA's public health response to this situation. So, again, va.gov is a good place to learn more about what the VA is doing for veterans to try to protect their health, to try to provide necessary care, and so forth. As I said, we have lots of other news tonight, some from Washington, some from major veteran groups around the country. But I wanted to, in our next segment tonight, I wanted to highlight this week a veterans group here in Florida. As our faithful listeners know, that in our program we like to have veterans on our show. We like to have representatives of various veteran groups, some government agencies, some private nonprofit groups, to discuss the services they offer. And one group that I wanted to highlight tonight is one of my favorite here in the state of Florida. And as you know, Florida has a very large veterans population. It's the third largest state by population, and it's the third largest in veteran population behind Texas and California. And the group I want to highlight tonight is based in Ocala, Florida, Marion County. For those that live in Florida, you know where that is. It's north central Florida. It's a large county. It's in the center, north central part of the state. And a lot of veterans live in that part of the state. Ocala and Marion County. It's beautiful. It's basically a horse ranch country, beautiful rolling green hills. And wonderful people that live in that area. And the group I want to highlight this week is Veterans Helping Veterans USA, which is dedicated to helping veterans and their families who are in need by providing social services and information to help improve their lives and maintain their independence. Veterans Helping Veterans USA is a 501c3 non-for-profit organization, and they're located at 2730 East Silver Springs Boulevard in Ocala, Florida. They have a website, which is Vets Helping Vets. Their email is vetshelpingvets@vhvusa.org. That's vetshelpingvets@vhvusa.org. Their website is vhvusa.org. The founder of this great organization, Marine Corps veteran Hank Whittier, he had a vision a couple decades ago to create an organization that will help veterans on the veterans' own mission towards independence after the military service. The organization was founded in 1997 and incorporated 5 years later in 2002. Veterans Helping Veterans USA is the largest non-governmental social service agency in Central Florida that's assisting veterans. And that is quite an accomplishment, particularly when you consider the large veteran population in Florida, in Central Florida. By partnering with the Marin County Veterans Service Office, Veterans Helping Veterans has a resource center that offers the first and only one-stop shop for veterans, from VA benefits to other social services. And last year, they helped almost 5,000 veterans and their families. But, of course, they recognize that it's an ongoing challenge or opportunity, and they're there to meet those challenges. They do a number of very specific projects, and I wanted to talk about those, and then I wanted to help support Veterans Helping Veterans by telling you, the listeners, what you can do and where you can find out more information to support this great organization. First, they provide social service contacts to veterans and veteran families through counseling, referral, advocacy, and direct social service assistance, including food and limited financial assistance for items such as rent, utilities, special dietary needs, etc. They also, and this is very important for veterans, obviously, they help veterans find employment through counseling and networking. And they really have an outstanding networking system with many contacts in Florida, in North Central Florida in particular. They also coordinate with the Marion County School District and government officials to bring veterans into the classrooms in Marion County to educate both the staff and the students as far as the contributions of veterans to America, which is important. Another project is that they educate the public and the community at large through the media, through speaking engagements, workshops, and they have a weekly radio program for veterans and their families as far as issues like benefits and other services available to them. And that weekly radio station is on an Ocala station, WOCA, nicknamed The Source, which is a radio station, both FM and AM. It's 96.3 FM in the Ocala area and 1370 AM. Their website is the Source, 1370.com, where you can listen to their Thursday morning veterans show. Another project that Veterans Helping Veterans USA is engaged in is helping veterans make their hospital appointments, make minor repairs to the veterans' homes, grocery shopping and errands, which is very important. You know, you can't take those things for granted, particularly when they're disabled veterans, as well as weekly wellness checks. Now, they need a large group of volunteers to do that, so they have about 100 volunteers that help do those important things. They also help veterans with their learning about their compensation benefits and other VA benefits. They work with Disabled American Veterans Service Officer in doing that. They also work with local law enforcement in Central Florida, the courts, the public defenders, and the state attorney's office to provide the Marion County's Veterans Treatment Court, which is to help veterans that may run afoul of the law, perhaps as a consequence of military service disabilities like post-traumatic stress. Veterans Helping Veterans USA also works with a variety of social service and civic organizations to bring services and information to veterans and their families. For example, they're working with Habitat for Humanity to establish a housing initiative where veterans will be highlighted to participate in the Habitat for Humanity program. They also network and work with organizations like the ELSE Club and others to deliver hot meals to homeless and shut-in veterans throughout Marion County. So again, if you want to learn more about this outstanding private group, Veterans Helping Veterans USA, based in Ocala, Florida, check out their website, which is vhvusa.org. Now, before turning to our next segment and some news, I want to conclude this by telling you how you can help this great organization. Veterans Helping Veterans has a number of ways that you can help them help veterans. And they're quite candid. They need your help. Like I said earlier, they have about 100 volunteers to help veterans, but they need help in many ways. First, you can make a tax-deductible donation to Veterans Helping Veterans USA. You can use your PayPal account, your credit card, personal check, or stop by their office in Ocala with a donation. And your financial support will help ensure that they can provide the needed social services for their veterans. You can also donate online at vhvusa.org/donate now. Another way you can help is when you go shopping, if you like to purchase things on Amazon.com, well, Amazon has this program called Amazon Smile, and you can support Veterans Helping Veterans when you shop for your items on Amazon. You go to smile.amazon.com, you log into your Amazon account, and you select Veterans Helping Veterans USA as your agency of choice, and they will receive 0.5% of your eligible purchases as a donation. So that's a wonderful thing that's facilitated by Amazon. Another way you can help this great organization is part of your estate planning. So talk to your financial advisor about perhaps a legacy or inheritance gift. Now, on a practical level, you can help Veterans Helping Veterans USA by providing free services in your trade. For instance, if you're licensed in a skilled trade like carpentry or electrical work, plumbing, etc., HVAC, automotive repair, veterans need your help because the cost of home and vehicle repair is often out of the reach of many families. They may have leaking roofs, plumbing problems, unsafe electrical systems. That's just a fact of life. And a very practical way where you can help these veterans and their families is, if you are licensed and certified in those skilled trades, is to donate some of your time and expertise. Again, contact Veterans Helping Veterans. I'll give you their phone number in just a moment. You can also help if you're a licensed professional, like a psychologist or as an attorney. You can help those veterans that need help. You can help veterans by becoming a mentor. As I said earlier, they have Marion County Veterans Treatment Court. Contact Veterans Helping Veterans for more information. Again, in a moment, I'll give you their phone number. And finally, be a volunteer. They need administrative help in their office, but they also need support in warehouse inventory, custodial staff, information technology, reception, and other ways, as well as some of the specific projects that I mentioned about doing wellness checks on veterans at their homes, grocery shopping, helping them run errands, those sort of things. So, again, check out the website vhvusa.org for Veterans Helping Veterans USA. And you can contact their number. Their phone number is, write this down, area code 352-433-2320. Again, this is Veterans Helping Veterans USA, Marion County, Florida, area code 352-433-2320. Again, 352-433-2320. It's a great organization. It's my privilege to be able to highlight all the great things that they do. Now, let's turn to our next segment tonight, more on this coronavirus, COVID-19, that's really absorbing the nation's attention the past week in particular, as in previous weeks as well. News from Washington, D.C. includes not only what I mentioned earlier about the VA healthcare system doing what they can, but also veterans committees and organizations in Washington, D.C., in a press release from this past Friday, March the 13th, the House Committee on Veteran Affairs, Chairman Mark Takano of California, made the following comments as far as his committee's actions to help protect veterans from COVID-19 and the VA's ability to carry out its mission. And I quote, he said, the increase in COVID-19 cases have prompted local and state governments, the private sector, and nonprofit organizations to take actions intended to contain the outbreak among the American population. As the Department of Veteran Affairs considers its own preventive measures, it is important that Congress and this committee actively work to ensure VA has the required resources to carry out those tasks. That is why the committee is taking the following steps, and this is a very practical one. Worked to eliminate co-payments for testing and medical appointments for veterans. The Committee on Veteran Affairs has worked with key House leaders on potential ways to waive the co-payments for COVID-19 testing and medical visits for all veterans, beneficiaries, and employees under Title 38, as well as TRICARE beneficiaries. They're also receiving continuous updates on the COVID-19 response and emergency preparedness. They're working with the VA leadership, including the Veteran Health Administration leadership, the executive in charge, Dr. Stone, to discuss the VA's response to COVID-19 and the impact on the nation's veterans and their families. So they're trying to be very proactive in their oversight on how they can help the VA accomplish its mission during this time of a national emergency. excuse me. That is among other things that those in Congress are saying that they're going to do. He also concludes his press release by saying, and I quote, VA's unique mission to care for veterans and serve as a backstop for the country's hospital systems in the event of a national emergency or natural disaster must be protected, and the Committee on Veteran Affairs is committed to ensuring VA has the tools and resources to carry out those missions, unquote. So, again, it seems to be new developments every day, sometimes every hour, on how this situation is unfolding. So stay tuned, and if you're a veteran and you want to know more about what the VA is doing, go to va.gov, that website. All right, more news from Washington. The House and the Senate Veteran Affairs Committees have been very busy the last 3 weeks. And as I've mentioned, those of you that have listened to our shows for the last several weeks, we've described how it's that time of year, or that time in Congress, when the many major veteran organizations make their major legislative presentations to the Congress, specifically to the Senate and the House Veteran Affairs Committee. That's where the heavy lifting, the work is really done, in those two committees on the Senate and the House side. They have subcommittees, but this was the time of year that over the last 3 weeks, including this past week, major groups like Disabled American Veterans, Wounded Warrior Project, Vietnam Veterans of America, the American Legion, Paralyzed Veteran of America, Gold Star Wives, Military Officers Association of America, the Fleet Reserve Association, and the VFW, they all made their presentations. And tonight, and a little later in this show, I'm going to discuss some of the highlights that kind of continue what we've been discussing the last few weeks. Those of you that might have caught our show last week heard from John Rotter of the American Legion National Headquarters, based in Indianapolis. He's the press secretary for the American Legion National Commander, who made his presentation to Congress this past week, and I'll be discussing the highlights of that shortly. So there was a lot of information out there, and I think for those of you that are interested in learning more about what these many veteran groups are doing, go to the websites veterans.senate.gov and veterans.house.gov, but I would start with veterans.senate.gov and look under the link for hearings, and you will see the hearings. You can actually watch videos of the hearings if you're so inclined, but you can also download their presentations, and those presentations were done over the last 3 weeks, from February the 25th, the 26th, 27th, March 3rd, 4th, and March 11th. And there are well over a dozen major veteran groups that made their presentations. And these are, I was really impressed in reading them that they're well thought out. There's also a great benefit. You may wonder, why are there so many different veteran groups? Well, they represent different constituencies, if you will, among veterans. And they have their own agendas, if you will. They have their own areas of emphasis. For instance, the youngest generation of veterans, the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, is one such organization. Vietnam Veterans of America is another. Then you have the large organizations like American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, AMVETS, Paralyzed Veteran America, and then a host of smaller organizations. But they all have a lot of great ideas and very great details. So in a moment, I'm going to share with you some of those. But again, if you're interested, go to veterans.senate.gov and veterans.house.gov, and you can download their presentations. Let me just take a moment here and remind you, all of you, this is a call-in show. If you're interested in calling in tonight and sharing your views or asking questions, our toll-free call-in number here at the Veterans News Hour is 1-888-627-6008. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. And I'd be happy to take your call and hear what's on your mind about any of these issues. All right, let's before getting to some of the presentations, let me highlight a few other press releases coming from Washington this past week. From the Senate side, according to a press release issued this past Thursday, March the 12th, U.S. Senator John Tester of Montana is leading more than 30 Senate colleagues in introducing a bill called the Fair Care for Vietnam Veterans Act of 2020, which would require the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs to provide benefits for veterans suffering from four diseases associated with exposure to Agent Orange. Those diseases are bladder cancer, hypothyroidism, Parkinsonism, and hypertension. Now, currently, as most veterans, and particularly Vietnam veterans, know, veterans with specific health conditions that developed as a result of their exposure to Agent Orange during the Vietnam War are eligible for disability compensation benefits and health care from the VA. And that list is over a dozen health conditions, various diseases and cancers, etc. However, the VA continues to deny coverage for approximately 190,000 veterans that are struggling with bladder cancer, hypothyroidism, Parkinsonism, and hypertension. Those are four conditions which, according to Senator John Tester, have been scientifically proven to have an association with exposure to the toxic herbicide. So the Fair Care for Vietnam Veterans Act of 2020, if enacted, which it hasn't been yet, it would add these illnesses to the VA's list of service-connected presumptive conditions and would provide essential benefits and care to Vietnam veterans. As Senator Tester said, and I quote, "Justice is long overdue for the 190,000 aging veterans who are currently suffering and dying as a result of their exposure to Agent Orange in Vietnam." Continue to quote, "This bicameral bill is as straightforward as they come. Since the VA isn't willing to do its job, Congress is stepping in and requiring them to do it by law. We won't stop fighting until this administration does right by thousands of veterans suffering from these illnesses who have already waited far too long for the benefits and care they've earned," unquote. Now, many of the major veteran service organizations, or VSOs, have been outspoken critics of the continued delays over years for Vietnam veterans suffering from these service-connected illnesses. They continue to be Congress's top ally and strongest advocates in expanding the VA's list of presumptive conditions. According to Veterans of Foreign Wars, VFW Commander-in-Chief William J. Doc Schmitz, quote, "Vietnam veterans did our part. After winning every battle they fought while they were in Vietnam, many of them have lost their fight to the horrible health conditions they received from Agent Orange exposure," unquote. He continues by saying, and I quote, "It's unacceptable that the list of conditions presumed to be associated with Agent Orange exposure does not include bladder cancer, Parkinson-like symptoms, hypertension, and other conditions that the scientists have said are connected to military service. The VFW is proud to support the Fair Care for Vietnam Veterans Act of 2020, which would create this wrong," unquote. Other military organizations that have supported this proposed bill include the Military Officers Association of America, And their president and CEO, Lieutenant General Dan Akin, said, and I quote, "Caring for those who are wounded in service of our country is one of our most sacred duties. Scientific evidence linking the four presumptives with Agent Orange exists and should be accepted. Exposure to Agent Orange is credibly associated with bladder cancer, hyperthyroidism, Parkinson-like symptoms, and hypertension in our Vietnam veterans. We must act and ensure that these veterans receive the care they need. Military Officers Association of America appreciates the continued congressional focus on this issue, and we will continue to work until all 190,000 affected veterans receive the care and support they earned," unquote. AMVET's commander, National Commander Jan Brown, in support of this legislation, said, and I quote, "The Fair Care for Vietnam Veterans Act of 2020 is an essential component of the agreement our nation made with these veterans when they took an oath. Veterans wrote a check with their lives, and Congress vowed to take care of them when they returned home. Reportedly, VA is already treating 1,404 Vietnam-era veterans for Parkinsonism, 5,836 for bladder cancer, 15,657 for hyperthyroidism, and 308,329 for hypertension. It's time to expand the exposure list to include these diseases, and this act deserves as much support as can be mustered," unquote. And finally, American Legion National Commander Bill Oxford said, "Vietnam War veterans have already given so much to their country. Now, almost 50 years after the war ended, many continue to suffer, whether it's from the serious effects of bladder cancer or hyperthyroidism. The pain can be agonizing for these veterans and their families who love them. The American Legion believes the Fair Care for Vietnam Veterans Act of 2020 can help alleviate some of that suffering. We urge Congress to pass this legislation immediately," unquote. Now, I would point out, as many Vietnam veterans already know, there is a very relatively long list of diseases and cancers that are already presumed to be connected to Agent Orange. That list has expanded over the years based on authority that Congress, by law, gave to the VA to study and then issue regulations. Well, the reason why there's this proposed legislation, which would be a statute by Congress called the Fair Care for Vietnam Veterans Act of 2020, is that it's felt that the VA has been kind of slow rolling this issue. The VA has had this evidence and has basically declined to add those diseases to the presumptive list, despite the evidence that would suggest they should be. So this bill is an example where Congress is stepping in and saying, VA, we're just going to handle this ourselves. Forget about waiting any further. They're just going to pass a statute, which, of course, Congress has the power to. It's interesting because when you compare that to what's been done on some other issues recently, very specifically the Camp Lejeune toxic water contamination issue and the various cancers and diseases that have been linked to that contaminated drinking water, it's quite interesting to compare how that process unfolded back in 2012 when Congress passed a statute that listed about 15 different diseases that would lead to eligibility for health care. Congress did that by statute. And then, though, for disability compensation, which is different from health care, to actually pay veterans for their disabilities, then Congress deferred to the VA to issue regulations, which took them a while to do that. I think that was effective in early 2017, where the VA came up with a much shorter list of 8 diseases instead of the 15 which were on the health care list. So there's always an interesting backstory, if you will, about what Congress is doing versus what the VA is doing, and is Congress exercising enough oversight? Is Congress demonstrating a sufficient sense of urgency? Is Congress doing its job? And so what you have in this situation is the VA committees, the veterans committees in the Congress will hopefully, before August, before their August recess, will consider this legislation, hopefully pass it. If they do pass it through both committees, fairly good chance it'll pass both houses and then go to the president, who presumably would have no reason to not to sign it. So we'll see what happens. It's an issue that we'll be following, just as we followed other issues, particularly affecting Vietnam veterans, like the Vietnam Veterans, the Blue Water Navy Veterans Act, which extended some Agent Orange presumptions to those who serve offshore of Vietnam during the war, which was the success on that was due to military veterans advocacy, primarily in litigation, led the Procopio decision last year, and then led last summer to legislation passed by Congress. So it's an ongoing struggle for these veterans, and hopefully the committee will actually act in the next few months, because we know if you follow Washington, if they don't get it done before their August recess, and that's just a few months, really, we'll be here before you know it, it probably isn't going to get done in this election year. So stay tuned, and we'll be following this this legislation. Meanwhile, again, I'd like to remind any listeners, if you want to call in, I'll offer your comments, your views, your questions. Our toll-free number here at the Veterans News Hour on BBS Radio is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. Now, let me turn to some other news. As I said earlier in the show, the last 3 weeks, a big time in the Congress House and Veterans House and Senate Veterans Committees, they held hearings. It's that time of year when it's kind of a state of the union for veteran issues. You have all these major veteran groups that have put their thinking caps on and said, you know, this is our wish list of legislation. How can we improve the VA? How can we do more to help the veterans? And one of the most impressive presentations was made this past Wednesday, March the 11th, by the American Legion commander James W. Bill Oxford. And his press secretary, John Rotter, was on our show last Monday. But I want to highlight the key points, the top issues of the American Legion, that the American Legion urges lawmakers in the Congress to address, hopefully in a bipartisan way. They basically have about a half a dozen top issues, and let me share those with you right now. The first is supporting the VA's suicide prevention efforts. The bill that the American Legion is focusing on is the Senate bill, which is S-785, called the Commander John Scott Hanum Veterans Mental Health Care Improvement Act of 2019, passed out of committee on January 29, 2020. The American Legion is also active participants in the program called the Veterans Roadmap to Empower Veterans to End the National Tragedy of Suicide. The acronym for that is the Prevents Initiative and Task Force, which aims to empower veterans to pursue and improve quality of life, coordinate existing suicide prevention efforts, prioritize related research activities, and foster collaboration across the public and private sector. So that's an important priority that the American Legion recommended to Congress. Another priority of the American Legion in their presentation this past week was supporting those suffering from illnesses related to the toxic exposures to open-air burn pits, including open-air burn pits, but not limited to those. Last year, the Burn Pits Accountability Act was passed into law, which increased the requirements on the Departments of Defense and Veteran Affairs to track and evaluate service members' health when they have been exposed to these open-air burn pits. Now, this year, Senate Bill 2950, the Veterans Burn Pit Exposure Recognition Act 2019, that's the most important priority, as burn pits and airborne toxics have become a major concern for the post-9/11 generation of veterans. Now, the Act would recognize and concede exposure during deployed service. Well, let's look at that carefully. They want, the bill should recognize and concede that these veterans were exposed to these toxic substances. However, and the American Legion acknowledges this, the bill would not automatically grant benefits or health care to veterans who serve near burn pits, nor would the bill create a presumption of service connection like the current Agent Orange list. Now, there are several bills the American Legion is assisting lawmakers and fellow veteran organizations in crafting and refining that aim to address the presumption of service connection. So that's another issue to be stay tuned. As I've discussed on prior shows, the concern that I have and many veteran groups have is that there's going to be the slow rolling of this issue. They're going to study it to death, to really to the death of the veterans, and nothing's going to happen. So my advice, if I can add an editorial comment here, is that these committees ought to do what they're about to do on this Agent Orange issue, and as they did on the Camp Lejeune health care entitlement, which is hold hearings and pass statutes. Don't wait for the VA. There's no need to study this to death unless their true reason is just to avoid responsibility and avoid the cost. All right, let's go to the next of the half dozen issues that the American Legion emphasized to Congress this past week, and that is to enhance women's health care at the VA. They support Senate Bill S-514, the Deborah Sampson Act. That's a bill that the American Legion is working with the majority and the minority in Congress to help refine. A version of the bill passed out of the House in December 2019, and the idea is to improve women health care services at the VA, which is an issue that is receiving finally much-needed attention. Another priority of the American Legion, as our guest mentioned last week, is one that maybe many Americans don't realize, is that whenever there's a government shutdown, you know, towards the end of a fiscal year and the Congress can't get its act together while passing a budget and the government goes into shutdown mode, the Coast Guard, because it doesn't fall under the Department of Defense, Department of Defense is usually funded, the Coast Guard members aren't getting paid. So the American Legion supports an effort that it would be a standalone bill that would solve this problem. It would be the S-21, Senate Bill 21, Pay Our Coast Guard Act. It's also included in the Coast Guard Reauthorization Act, so hopefully that will pass. And then, finally, American Legion also has the priority of protecting the GI Bill. As we know, historically, since World War II, the GI Bill has been an important benefit for veterans, and it's really helped American society in so many different ways. So the American Legion supports this a bill called H.R. 4625, Protect the GI Bill Act. It's already passed the House. It's awaiting action in the Senate, which would create common sense oversight of schools and give military-connected students the same rights as non-veterans if their school closes, when they receive overpayment and when a school loses its eligibility to operate, because that has been an issue. There have been a number of for-profit schools out there which have really taken advantage of veterans in order to get the military and the VA educational benefits. They're looking at, you know, some of these for-profit schools have really not been helping these veterans. So the American Legion is looking forward to working with congressional leadership, both houses of Congress and the committees, the Veteran Affairs Committee, and also the Armed Service Committee, in order to have a productive legislative year, you know, for the rest of this year. And those are just some of the key points. The VA healthcare system was another issue that that the American Legion really emphasized a lot. And then in a few minutes, I'll discuss that as well. But before doing that, let me just take another brief break to remind our listeners. If you're interested in calling in, our toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008. Again, 1-888-627-6008. Looking forward to next week's show. We're going to have two distinguished guests from the Texas Veterans Commission. The Texas Veterans Commission is the state of Texas's state organization serves veterans. As you know, every state has its own Department of Veteran Affairs. It may have different names. In Texas, they call it the Texas Veterans Commission. And our guest next week will be Julia Connor, who's a multimedia specialist for the Texas Veterans Commission. And she is responsible for producing a radio show called The Voice of Texas Veterans. So she'll be one of our guests next week. And another guest from the Texas Veterans Commission will be Michael Malone, who's going to be talking about many of their programs, including their assistance to veterans seeking VA benefits and others, other programs that the Texas Veteran Commission had. So tune in next week, and you'll hear those two guest from the Texas Veterans Commission. All right, let's turn back to more about the presentations this past week in Congress. A big issue of concern for veterans is the future of VA health care. And, you know, there's so much talk with the, you know, the presidential election year, and you hear the presidential candidates debating things like Medicare for All, the Affordable Care Act, how that should be improved, or should it be abolished and replaced with something else. You know, what role should the government be playing? And meanwhile, veterans know that they've had the veteran health care system for many, many decades. And it serves millions of veterans and does so generally in an excellent fashion. However, the VA healthcare system is not without some very significant challenges, including, for instance, being significantly understaffed in many ways and facing challenges on recruiting enough medical professionals, being able to pay them competitive salaries, etc. So the American Legion, in its presentation last week to Congress, discussed many of these issues and had recommendations about some of these. And I'd like to highlight these. And they basically focus around the key point of modernizing the VA healthcare system. It's basically an investment in the VA's future and the best path forward for veterans. As a bit of background, in 2018, Congress approved and the President signed into law the most significant legislation to transform the VA healthcare system since 1996. It was called the VA Maintaining Systems and Strengthening an Integrated Outside Network Act. Those of you in the military, you know your acronyms. You know, Congress has acronyms for everything, too. The acronym for this bill was the VA Mission Act. That's the Maintaining Systems and Strengthening Integrated Outside Network Act. That's a mouthful, isn't it? So the VA Mission Act, that's what you'll hear. So on June the 6th of 2019, the VA launched its improved community care program, implementing portions of the Mission Act, which ended the so-called Veterans Choice Program and established the new Veterans Community Care Program. Quick background. If you go back in time to about 2014 when there was a scandal in the VA about some veterans dying because of delayed in treatment, a lot of these stories came out of the Phoenix VA Hospital. And the scandal wasn't just the delay in treatment, but they uncovered the fact that some VA employees, not all of them, but some of them were fudging the numbers to make it look like the veterans were not having to wait very long for care when in fact they were waiting so long that some of them were dying. And as a result of that, Congress said, well, we've got to, if the VA doesn't have enough doctors and nurses and other resources, then the veterans need to be able to get care out in the private sector. And paid for by the VA. That's what this Veterans Choice Program is. Well, it was well intended. It had some bureaucratic obstacles. And in 2019, when Congress launched this improved Veterans Community Care Program, it was designed to end the Veterans Choice Program and establish this new Veterans Community Care Program. According to the VA, enactment of this Mission Act will strengthen its ability to recruit and retain clinicians, which is important. Also, to authorize telehealth across state lines, empower veterans with increased access to community care, and establish a new urgent care benefit which eligible veterans can access through VA's network of community urgent care providers. So in other words, this was definitely not a situation where some people said, well, they're going to privatize the VA, that's a bad thing. No, it wasn't that either, but it was also recognition that the VA just doesn't have enough doctors and nurses and other resources to meet all the health needs of veterans, and therefore they have to establish, you know, some programs to work with the local community, the private sector. And that's where this network of community care providers is important. Now, what about veterans that live in rural areas? Because there's a lot of rural areas in our country, and many veterans that live there, they struggle to make their appointments simply because of the distance needed to travel to the nearest VA facility. It makes it unrealistic. So to ease that burden, the travel burden, what the VA did was they devoted more resources to improve what they call telehealth services. In mid-October, the department found that more than 900,000 veterans used the VA telehealth services in 2019. This was a 17% increase over the prior fiscal year and contributed to the VA's delivery of more than 2.6 individual telehealth sessions in 2019. Now, the VA telehealth initiative is called Anywhere to Anywhere, and it's designed to reduce the confusion about state-specific telehealth laws and licensing restrictions. In an effort to eliminate this confusion, the VA announced a new federal rule that will allow its doctors, nurses, and other healthcare providers to administer care using telehealth or other virtual technology. In other words, you got the doctor in one location and is communicating with the patient, perhaps even in another state, by way of telephone or video conferencing, live video streaming, those sorts of things. So that's what this program is designed to do, and in an effort to support this initiative, the VA has teamed up with the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and Philips to bring care to veterans in a familiar setting with basically their local post, their local American Legion or VFW post. So through a project called Project Atlas, and again, you got another acronym there, folks, ATLAS stands for Accessing Telehealth to Local Area Stations. A company called Philips will install video telecommunication technology and medical devices in selected American Legion and VFW posts to enable remote examinations through secure high-speed internet lines. That's pretty fascinating stuff. Veterans will be examined and advised in real time through face-to-face video sessions with VA medical providers who may be located literally hundreds or thousands of miles away. So that's an important initiative, and it shows the public sector and private organization partnership here, again, between the VA, the American Legion, the VFW. It's really a great thing. It's a team effort here. Improving these healthcare services is an important priority for the VA. It's part of the strategic plan by VA Secretary Robert Wilkie. So it's we'll see how it continues to unfold in the next couple years. They're trying to improve their outdated electronic health record system, trying to update their information technology system, really to bring it up to 21st century operating capability. There are a lot of challenges, and it's expensive. You know, the VA budget is in the hundreds of billions of dollars, and there's a lot to do, a lot of money being spent. So American Legion, their presentation is basically urging Congress to maintain careful oversight over the implementation of the Mission Act, ensuring that the VA honors its commitments and its obligations under the law, and also want to hold the VA accountable to the deadlines proposed by the various IT system upgrades and installations. So that's part of a very lengthy and, in my own personal editorial comment, excellent presentation by the American Legion to Congress this past week, and we certainly wish the American Legion and other veteran groups success in their programs to help veterans and to advocate on behalf of veterans. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show tonight, and I want to mention two other specific programs before going to our closing. And one is a continuation of the issue we've talked about in previous shows, which is the issue of toxic contamination by open-air burn pits. I mentioned some of the legislative goals of American Legion and other groups. You can learn more about that issue by going to the websites of many of these veteran groups. And also, if you want to get a very good visual story of that, I would remind our audience about the documentary film that was released in 2017. It's called Delay, Deny, Hope You Die, How America Poisoned Its Soldiers by film director and producer Greg Lovett. It's about a 50-55 minute film. It deals with the open-air burn pit issues and how they are suspected of causing a large number of veterans to suffer from various serious health problems, respiratory and other types of cancers, for instance. If you want to find out more about this film, check it out on Facebook. Go to Facebook and in the Facebook search engine, type in the words Burn Pit Documentary. You'll get a link to the film's Facebook engine or web page, Facebook page. You can also purchase a DVD of that. If you want to host a screening of the film in your hometown theater, if you have a large group, you can do that. There's a fascinating company. Website is tugg.com. That's T-U-G-G, T-U-G-G with two G's, .com. And under the film tabs on the website, look for the film Delay, Deny, Hope You Die. And you can actually sponsor that. It's basically crowdfunded ticketing. So if you get the minimum number for a screening, then that theater, in conjunction with tugg.com, will actually show that particular film on a day and time that you arrange, and you can use it for education. You can use it as part of your organization's fundraising to help this important issue. So wanted to make that reminder to our listeners. And then finally, for those of you that are interested in exploring more the costs of war, the issues of the costs of war. We talk on this show a lot about the cost of war in human terms. And one way to do that would be to learn more about the cost of war. Brown University has the Cost of War Project. Their website is costsofwar.org. Check them out. You can donate to their project as well, because they need funding for a lot of the work they're doing. There's also the United States Institute of Peace, usip.org. The United States Institute of Peace, which has been around since 1984, is both a think tank but also an action organization that trains people in diplomacy and mediation and international conflict. But they also have an educational role, and their website, usip.org, has lots of great resources that educators can use and members of the public. You can take online courses. You can also find out more about their different educational programs, books that they publish, etc. And we also recommend a book called A Mighty Case Against War by Kathy Beckwith. It provides an insightful analysis of America's past wars and ways they could have been prevented through diplomacy. And it provides a path to a new way of thinking about how to promote peace. If you'd like a copy of that book, which is A Mighty Case Against War, send me an email. My email address is lawcorey1@verizon.net. That's lawcorey1@verizon.net. And you can also, again, find my email on our website, our show's website, which is bbsradio.com/theveteransnewshour. Now, we're about running out of time tonight, so I want to provide our weekly reminder to veterans and their families about an important VA program called Coaching into Care. It helps veterans who are having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a very tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching into Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call, toll-free number, 1-888-823-7458. That's 1-888-823-7458. Hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, don't confuse the Coaching into Care number with another very important program, which is the Veteran Crisis Line. If you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the VA also has the Veterans Crisis Line, called toll-free 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. That's 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they didn't get the help they need, so help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Again, the Veterans Crisis Line, 1-800-273-8255, and press 1. So it's our time to go for this evening. Hope you enjoyed all the information we provided. I'd like to thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour here on BBS Radio Station 1. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Joyce and Joe Chivaroli and Corey and Hurley Law Group. If you're interested in being an advertiser or a sponsor, please contact us. We certainly welcome you aboard. Also like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom, for the great job he does every week for us. And we hope you'll tune in next week, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, 5 p.m. Mountain, and 4 p.m. Pacific Time here on bbsradio.com Station 1 for another edition of the Veterans Hour, Veterans News Hour. Until then, we hope you have a great week. Stay safe.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on VBSRadio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.